Greetings, everyone. This is Payman Lorenzo, your host of the Leaders Without Podcast. Today, I have yet again another amazing guest, my new good friend, Crystal Hill from the beautiful Melbourne, Australia. She has an amazing story, an amazing heart, and obviously is a true leader with a heart. She is the founder of Hill House Publishing. She features conscious entrepreneurs in her multi-author books. We share a vision and awakening of empowering humanity into deeper levels of sovereignty and connection. She has an amazing mission, which I absolutely love, and that is awaken and empower humanity into deeper levels of sovereignty and connection. We're going to talk about that in detail throughout this conversation. Crystal, my friend, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Pleasure is all mine. First of all, before we start, for people who don't know you, who's Crystal?
Who is Crystal? Crystal has a lot of titles. Crystal is a mother of a 10 and a 7-year-old. Crystal is a single mom. She is a multidimensional soul who is aware of her soul origin, who's aware of her past lives, who
really
travels the galaxies and the universes to do some, what some people might call quite crazy things. What else? She is a life coach and a spiritual mentor. I've been working with women in particular. You know, 13 years ago, when I was a child, I always knew that I was here to help people. And wow. When I was 17, I thought it might be through psychology, but I didn't know. Then I felt like, no, psychology really doesn't have a soul. It's too scientific for me. I'm more of a creative soul. I'm more of a connection-based person. And so then I studied theater studies and analyzed plays and brought characters to life on stage. And I was fascinated by human emotions and human motivations and why people do what they do. And why can't they just do the supposedly right thing? Why do they keep sabotaging themselves? What is behind that? So I was fascinated by all of this. And I brought this alive on stage in my 20s. And I was living in London at the time. Originally, I'm from Germany.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah. So I left Germany when I was 20 to go to London to study. And then I got the call to go to Australia. I became divorced and theater didn't pick up anymore. I thought, what's going on? You know, I had a spiritual awakening. I was communicating with my spirit team. I was saying, where am I meant to be? You know, this is not working. I've given myself a year to build things back up, but it wouldn't happen. It felt like blocks all the way. And so I just asked lots of questions. And then eventually I had this dream, literally, physically a dream that said, welcome to Australia. I was flying in an airplane and it was landing. And just as my alarm went off, it said, welcome to Australia. And so amazing. I've made a point in my life to always listen to those things, to always listen to those synchronicities. And I ended up here and then I found life coaching and NLP. So then I started taking people back into their inner child world, into their past lives as well. That sort of just naturally came to really releasing, bringing to the surface and then releasing the trauma that is still held in our cellular memory of past life events. And actually today, this morning, I just took myself through something which we can maybe talk about, but I'll just finish that story. And then, the empowerment of women became really, really important to me. I was becoming really passionate that, you know, we need to find an identity as divine feminine, as the ambassadors of the divine feminine, of the healthy feminine, not the ones who are, you know, just looking after the children or having the less paid jobs, but who are we? What can we contribute? Where we're not competing with the masculine, but we're bringing our own unique essence, our own uniqueness as the female, which resides in both men and women, you know, by the way, it's not just in the men or not just in the women.
Sure.
How can we embrace that feminine essence and not suppress it just so that we can be like men and compete in a world that is still very masculine in the way it does business? And this is why I love what you're doing so much because, you know, more and more, we are becoming aware that it's about heart-centered business. It's about the connection. People buy from people they like and trust. They don't buy from the best product. We want to create these connections now. This is the time we're moving into. And so just to briefly finish the story, when COVID hit, I was running lots of events all around Australia. And then of course I couldn't do that anymore. And the opportunity to create a publishing house came. And it really felt like things became full circle. Because here I was in my, as a, you know, I was the editor of my school magazine, and now suddenly I'm becoming the publisher of my own publishing house, bringing conscious entrepreneurs together who have a message, who are here to elevate humanity and awaken humanity and empower humanity. And we've talked about previously before we hit record about, you know, this is not a one-person job.
Absolutely.
Raising the consciousness of humanity and bringing us all into a new way of living and doing business requires all of us to come together. And so this is what I'm so passionate about now, creating that platform for conscious entrepreneurs who are way showers and visionaries to come together and share their message so that other people can wake up and be inspired.
Wow. So beautiful. You know, there's so much that we can talk about. Just, I will just say one thing. Yesterday, I had an incredible, incredible, almost 2 hour conversation podcast with a lady in the US who is just like you. She wears multiple hats, but one of them is an hypnotherapist. And that's something I'm extremely passionate about, especially since COVID started. I've had a spiritual awakening. I wasn't spiritual before, but that, you know, made me a lot spiritual. So for the past year and a half, I've been devouring anything I can find, I can get my hands on that. And, you know, it's absolutely beyond fascinating. We could have gone at least for another 2-3 more hours, but we had to stop it because, you know, already 2 hours is pretty long. But that's a topic I'm extremely passionate and fascinated. Well, we can talk about it after. But before we get into that, I want to ask you some fun questions before we start. First of all, you know, when we were kids, our parents, our teachers, our family, relatives and friends always ask us, so Crystal, when you grow up, what do you want to become? What was your answer back then when you were saying in primary school, middle school, when people ask you, so what do you want to become when you grow up?
You know, I actually have a really strong memory. I was sitting in my room. I must have been about 9. And I had this stone, which it was like a flat stone, and you could put with crayons, you could write on it. And I was writing the things that I wanted to become when I grew up. I had this deep knowing that the job that I was going to have hadn't been created yet. That's all I knew. And so I wrote down gardener because I loved being in the garden. I loved connecting to the earth. I wrote down priestess. I wrote down writer. I wrote down psychologist. And I think there might've been a couple of others, but so it's been really interesting to see how that unfolded. Cause in a way I've touched on all of them and now I've brought them all together into one whole, which is fascinating. I love how that works. And, you know, you're absolutely right. As children, we know there's a deep knowing and that gets often suffocated by the have to's and the shoulds and the societal conditioning that then gets imprinted on us. But we know we are passionate when we're children. So coming back to that is an awesome question.
Absolutely. Thank you. And let's stick one more time to school. So when you were in school as a student, what was your favorite subject?
I think it was, like, it depends on which age, but I remember when I was, you know, in high school, it was English. It was like literature. Mm. I loved literature. And that's what I then moved into.
What was your least favorite subject?
Maths.
Me too.
Maths or chemistry. Like the minute I could ditch chemistry, I did. I was just not, I'm not science minded. I'm more like creative.
You know, when I have my conversation with people, I'd like to, sure, it's important to look at the title and the professional achievement because that's an integral part of the person. But what I'm most interested in is having a heart-to-heart conversation. I like to get to know, so to speak, have a look under the hood to look inside the heart of the person. So I'm going to ask you some heart-centered question. First of all, what makes you happy?
Connection. Yeah, just connecting with myself. Sometimes just being by myself and not doing anything, just being in stillness because life is so busy. Taking my kids into a beautiful forest and just having some time in nature.
Amazing.
Yeah, and connecting to having soul to soul connections and conversations.
Exactly. That's the most beautiful. What makes you smile?
My children being funny.
Wow.
Yeah, when they're happy, it just brings me so much joy.
What makes you sad and angry?
Being misunderstood. Like it's, that has been a really core wound for me. When people just don't get me, and it's happened a lot throughout my life. And there's obviously there's reasons and patterns and programming that is creating misunderstanding as a theme. And I'm releasing that more and more now, but it's still, yeah, it's like a contraction that happens when I feel like I'm not able to communicate myself clearly.
What scares you?
This is an interesting one too. What scares me? I've done a lot of work around losing everything. And it's a deep fear that's not even coming from this life. But in fact, this morning, I was looking at this. I was looking at my business, and I'm working with a money mentor at the moment. And I've uncovered a fear around poverty. This doesn't come from this life, but it's been passed down from my ancestors who had to survive in the war and who had real scare poverty and had to really fight for survival and lost children because of undernourishment and lost. So I was this morning just uncovering a whole lot of past life stuff around poverty and losing loved ones in the war, because love and money are very, very much interconnected. For sure. And for me to get to that next level of holding space for clients and the books and become the next level of success, these are the things that are now being revealed to me as the blockages towards that. So absolutely. But it's releasing that fear of losing everything.
Absolutely. Now, looking back at your life so far, how did you get on your current path? Was it a smooth sailing? Once you got into one path, you kept on that path? Or was it like most of us, you go in one direction, then you go another field, another one, until you finally end up in where you are now and you find, so to speak, your true path? How was your path so far?
Yeah, I feel if I take the bird's eye view, it would be one step at a time, one after the other. But if we look at it from the human perspective, it was like, she's a theater director, now she's a life coach, now she's a publisher. Like, she was working with children and doing children's camps and being the editor of a school magazine. How does that all fit together? But I've understood the weaving of it all together. And because, you know, there's some people who are just doing one thing and they go deep and they become an expert. I'm more eclectic in bringing lots of different things together and then making them my own and creating something unique out of that.
Yeah, for sure. That makes for quite an interesting life, because you get to experience multiple different things that may or may not be that related. Wow. Okay. I'm sure you've heard the saying, change your story, change your life. We've all had to change our story at one time or another to get closer to our goals and dreams. For you, when you had to change your story, how did you do it? Did you use a specific system? Did you have the mentor? How were you able to? Because that's something that a lot of people are struggling with, because we all have this story, especially we having this conversation with our minds, with ourselves all day long. That's the most important conversation we're having. And they're not always the best conversation, the most, empowering. So what did you do to change your story, to turn your story from the negative into the positive, to get you closer to your goals and dreams?
That's a great question. I used to have the story that I'm not supported. I'm all alone. And I knew if I wanted to become successful and most importantly, happy, for me, success is a measurement of how happy I am and how at ease my life is, how in flow my life is. So the way I changed that story, yes, different things. I've been working, like, self-development and spiritual development has, since my late 20s, been a part of my life. So I've often, most of the time, there's not been a time when I haven't had a mentor or a coach to help me. But in recent times, the more tools I have, I've done a lot of self-healing and self-changing as well. And the one thing I really love is Dr. Joe Dispenza's changing beliefs, changing the habit of being yourself. That has been one of the really key books that have influenced me and helped me to really change my story more consciously.
Absolutely. You mentioned something about mentors. That's another key point. a lot of people struggle with finding the right mentor, because a lot of people claim to be mentors, but they're actually nothing but that. So do you have any tips on how to find a good mentor that is actually legit and also able to help you? And by you, I mean people in general.
Absolutely. It's really not to look with a mind, but to look with your heart. So when we go out there and it's like, oh, I need to find a mentor, I need to find someone, going on the internet and looking may not be the best and most effective way of doing it. So often, well, the first thing I do if I'm looking for somebody is to identify the need. Okay, there's something that I want that I don't know how to get by myself that I need help with. And then I talk to my spirit team and I ask the universe and say, universe, please bring the right person to me that can help me with this. And sometimes that's a silent prayer. Sometimes that's very conscious. The other thing I do is I ask, you know, the power of referrals. I ask the people that I feel aligned with, that I feel get where I'm at, and they get me and I get them. I ask them, who are your mentors? Who can you recommend anyone? Because then I know that whatever they're recommending is probably in alignment with me as well.
I love that. That's such a great tip. Yeah, for sure. Wow. Let's talk now about what you're doing now. What's your business? Tell us a little bit about your business and what you're working on currently. The impactful empire? Because I know you're not just building a business, you're building an empire. What kind of impactful business are you currently building?
Yeah, I am building a platform for conscious leaders or conscious entrepreneurs to have their voices heard so that I can make a greater impact on humanity. Because as we said, I can't do it alone. So I'm bringing in amazing leaders who have walked the path. And so currently I am creating a multi-author book, which means that 10 to 25 people are coming together into this book to share their story and their wisdom. And each book that I create has a theme. So the current theme of this book is called Collaboration. Visionaries Share a New Way of Living. And so I'm bringing together people who have either always lived with collaboration and they felt like this is the way to do business, or they've had an awakening and they realized that the old ways of doing it with competition isn't working. What I became really aware of this a couple of months back in my own community and in the conscious community and conscious entrepreneurs, we all know that collaboration is the new way. And yet we have a shadow. There is still a shadow in many of us where we feel, oh, but that feeling threatened, or, you know, there's a dis-ease and saying, but I still need to be the best, or I still need to be the one who stands out. Collaboration's all very well as long as I come up on top. And it's a shadow that is in our, and it's not, nobody's to blame, because that's how society has conditioned us to be. It's always been about survival of the fittest. And so to change that from our ancestral lineage and to release those patterns from us is a really important thing that we need to do at this time. And that's why I'm creating this book, to bring together those who have already done that. And so there's collaboration with spirit, collaboration with self. So it's, I've suddenly got that it's got to be about five sections, because most people couldn't understand, how do I position myself as an expert in my field? How do I increase my credibility as an expert in my industry? How do I, you know, bring my ideal clients towards me when I write about collaboration? How do they connect? And so I realized that there was five pillars, and collaboration with spirit was one. So this is attracting all of the healers, the intuitive entrepreneurs, those who work with spirit. And then there's collaboration with self, which is attracting the coaches, the personal transformation coaches, who really can see how can we become sovereign in ourselves? How can we collaborate with ourselves? How can we trust ourselves? Then there's collaboration with a significant other, which could attract the parenting coaches, the intimacy coaches, the relationship coaches. And then there's collaboration in community. I've got some beautiful people who are really building sustainable communities now. Off-grid communities who are coming on board, and then collaboration in business, of course, you know, those of us who have built a business around networking, around, you know, bringing each other, you know, each other's wisdom to the fore. And so I've still got 5 spots left. Applications close very, very soon. I don't know when this podcast will go live, but if it goes live soon, then I'm open to anybody who resonates with this to come on board. And the next book that is going to be created after this is Intuitive Living. And that is a practical guide for women who want to deeply trust themselves. And I'm decided to go for men can contribute as well, because men know women very well too. And it's about, but I wanted to focus on the women because we are still finding an identity. Like, we are still women second guess and doubt themselves so much more than men. Men just have an idea and they just go for it most of the time. I don't want to stereotype, because we can't be stereotyped, but a masculine tendency, which exists both in men and women, is that the masculine goes for it. It has an idea and it just off it goes. Whereas the feminine has an idea. It's like, oh, can I really do this? But you know, I'm not really there yet. I can't say that I can do this if I've never done it. And so there's all of these doubts that we still have. And there's the pleaser is a lot more alive in the female as well than in the male, or the masculine. It's more alive in the feminine than in the masculine. So that is the next book that I really want to bring out, to showcase and help to empower the feminine in the world. Because that's how we create more collaboration. And this is how we create more heart-centered connection. But it's got it. The feminine needs to lead. The feminine needs to come to the fore here. And then the divine masculine can come to step by her side. And then the wounded masculine that is still in competition can rise and collaborate in divine union with that feminine. So that's how I see it. And also, just back to my business, I get so passionate about talking about the philosophy behind it. I have a launch coming up on the 2nd of July of my first book. It's a collaboration, and that one is called Fearless Presence, Embodying Our Essence for Soul-Aligned Success. So that is coming out on the 2nd of July, which is very exciting. And I've got 25 incredible contributors in that one who are all excited to share their voices with the world.
What's the title of that book?
It's called Fearless Presence.
Fearless Presence. I'm going to put a link on the show note. Is that going to be available on Amazon? Because if it is, I'm going to be definitely getting one copy myself. And anyway, I can give you a tiny little help and even help promote it. I would be more than happy, because these are the kind of messages that need to be spread out, because they deserve to be spread out, because they're all about, you know, creating connections and, you know, doing good. And that's what we need. As I told you earlier, not any single individual can change the world by themselves. But if we all, you know, in math, me and you, we didn't like math at all. But, you know, in math, 1 + 1 may be equal to 2. But in the real world out there, 1 + 1 is not 2, but 11. Because when two people put their effort together, it's going to exponentially explode. And that's my goal, my vision, similar to yours. You're building a platform, I'm building a platform. For me, my platform is to bring together enlightened entrepreneurs, enlightened souls, to share the stories, but most importantly, to inspire others, other entrepreneurs to do good. Because, you know, as I told you earlier, as an entrepreneur, I feel very strong about helping and doing good, because it's a right thing to do as a human being, but also because doing good is good for business. People love doing business with businesses that they, you know, that are heart-centered, that care and give back. And yeah, so it's the right thing to do. So we'll definitely gonna put the link to that in the show note to give you any tiny little support that I can do. As I said, we can all do a little bit in our own small sphere of influence. And if you combine them together, it's gonna make splashes all over. And that's what we can do together, you know, to spread all this positivity.
You know, I really appreciate it. Yeah, so the links for the Kindle version are coming out on the day, because it's part of our launch strategy to get to best-selling author, that we need to, you know, get as many people purchasing on the 2nd to get us the ranking that we're after. So I'll definitely be in touch then. And if you can share it with your network on that day, that would be absolutely amazing.
Absolutely, we'll do it. And here's I'm sure you've heard of it, because we're both part of the Brains magazine. You can get to do one live per month. Maybe have you thought about doing a live, just going live on the Facebook group of Brains and just talking about your book just for 5 to 10 minutes? I think that would be
amazing. I actually did that yesterday.
Oh, you did this? Wonderful. How did that go?
Yeah.
How did it go?
So I didn't do a live. I uploaded a pre-recorded something. So I don't know if I can actually do a live because I know that it has to be approved by admin.
My understanding is that we can do one live per month, but of course you had to prearrange that with them. So maybe you should ask, you can ask them and see, because you definitely, that's something that would, your message would be perfect for that audience as well. Because believe me, I'm being humbled and floored when I made that post on June the 1st on the Brains magazine asking for people building impactful business. I wasn't expecting over 100 replies. Like right now I'm booked solid for the month of June. I would need, it's become almost like a full-time job just to following up with all these people doing all this podcast and all that, but I'm not complaining because I love it. I enjoy connecting with amazing people.
Yeah. I'm gonna turn that down. That sometimes when these things happen with the beeping, I always feel like, okay, that's the universe giving us a heads up. Like, yes, that's exactly right. It might be a full-time job, but it is so important that we all connect.
You know, in your intro, you said a lot of amazing things, but one thing really caught my eye. You said, when you were a child, you realized that you were here to help people. Was that a single event? Was that a succession of things? How did you come to that realization?
I think it was just a knowing.
Deep down, okay.
Yeah, I remember. Like, I don't know. Like, I didn't say this, but I came into the world and I saw spirit beings that then shut down when I was three. So my perspective or my understanding of the world might have been quite different to many people. And, you know, when I became a teenager and everybody questioned, do you believe in God? Do you not believe in God? I'm like, yeah, because I know the unseen world exists because I've seen it. I know it. It's around me. You know, and even when as that connection to the divine closes, when, like, you know, with the frontal, when the head closes down, that's also when the connection kind of, when we arrive more in our physical body, and conditioning kicks in. So at the age of three, all of that stopped. But the awareness was there, and then the fears needed to be released and the conditioning needed to be unraveled so that I could come back to that.
Amazing. How did you get into you're a hypnotherapist, right?
In neurolinguistic programming. So, but I do work with trance states. But I haven't formally trained in it. But, you know, we in the NLP training, you understand how you can put people into trance as well, or into the alpha state, where you can access the unconscious.
Oh, that's amazing! Wow. Can you share with us an example of the most remarkable example of transformation you've seen from one of your clients going through your program that has completely blown your mind away by their transformation?
There's so many.
That's a beautiful thing to say, because, yeah, wow.
All right, I'll share a story around that I was working with a beautiful woman in Singapore, and she is a lawyer and a dancer, and so her two worlds were completely separate. So her divine feminine, which was the expression of the dancing, was very different to the divine masculine, which was in law. And so what we were working on was bringing those two together, integrating the fragmented aspects within herself into unity and into wholeness. And what happens so while we were doing that, you know, we revisit the childhood, we revisit ancestral patterns of needing to prove ourselves, not feeling worthy, having to fight for love, all of these things, having to work, and then burning out, and then needing to go and do the complete opposite. And so being in the pendulum because we're not integrated. And so when, by the time that we finish our work together, she was telling me, you know, Crystal, there's just this amazing support is happening in my life. And And men are treating me differently. They're honoring me as a woman because I'm now honoring myself as a woman, because I'm now honoring myself. The world is reflecting that back to me. What might have previously been a struggle in life, like a confrontation, suddenly was easy and in flow and dissolved and there was no issues, but it could have been and would have been in the past. So what happened with her is, as she integrated those parts within herself, there was a lot more ease in her life, a lot more flow, graciousness, peace. And yeah, so that's one example.
That's amazing. That's amazing. Wow. You know, that's the one thing that, you know, I was having an amazing conversation last night with this wonderful lady in the US who's a hypnotherapist. And at one time, you know, I said, since I'm so passionate about that, I'm so fascinated by that, maybe I might even consider, you know, getting trained to become a hypnotherapist myself. And she was, all of a sudden, she became the biggest, you know, cheerleader for me. Yes, absolutely. You should do it. You should do it. If that's, I can see the passion in you. But we'll see. Because, you know, the one thing that I love is helping people. And if you can help people overcome their whatever mental block, whatever they have to, so they can spread their wings and fly and bring them smile, and so they can make an impact in the world, then I would be all for it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we need more people having the tools to be able to help. Mm-hmm. The other part of my work with that is not just, is also the spiritual aspect.
Yes.
Connecting people back to their soul essence and remembering their purpose and why they're here. And really having, you know, there's a difference between knowing something and really embodying something. Mm-hmm. Like I, for example, I know that I'm worthy. I know that I matter, but there's a part of me in my cellular memory that doesn't know that because it's had a different experience. And so we need to not talk them to the mind, but we need to talk to the unconscious aspects of us that are that got stuck somewhere in the developmental journey. You know, we all always often get stuck. If there was a trauma, say at the age of four, our emotional development stops at the age of four and we kind of go into some kind of freeze state and stagnation and then react to anything in life from an emotional maturity of a four-year-old. And I'm sure as I'm speaking, you can think of people where you think, oh yeah, that's why that person is behaving and reacting like this all the time.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
It's that we all have these triggers because somewhere in our lives or in past lives, a trauma happened that hasn't, a shadow that hasn't been released yet. And so that is the work. So that more and more, we don't have to react anymore. We can live life in flow and almost from an observer perspective where we don't take anything personal. And I'm working with that with my 10-year-old at the moment. He reacts so much to Tara, my 7-year-old, when she criticizes him, he just loses the plot. And I'm like, okay, there's some trauma here that where he feels criticized and attacked and not good enough and not worthy. And so he just shouts at her. I'm like, oh, okay. So I separate them. I sit them both down and they're beautiful children. Like I can talk to them about things and say, look, Thomas, this is not about you. Tara attacking you and criticizing you has got nothing to do with you because you had a good intention with doing what you did, didn't you? And he said, yeah, I did, mommy. And so it's about Tara. So don't take it on. You don't have to defend yourself. And I know I'm speaking to his mind. And really what I need to speak to is wherever that trauma was created. And I do know where, because often siblings, you know, he's the oldest. When Tara was born, my attention was on her. I tried to do my best to give him everything that he needed, but he felt and he created that belief that she was more important and he didn't matter. He felt abandoned. And, you know, as parents, we can do everything right and children still get trauma. And I'm not saying that I do everything right, but I'm saying that we cannot blame ourselves because we always do the best that we can do with the knowledge and the situation that we have. And yeah, and this is where trust comes in as well, doesn't it? That we need to know and trust that our children or our parents or we chose the situations that we find ourselves in or have found ourselves in for our learning, for our growth.
That's for sure. Wow. You know, that's such an amazing topic. We can be talking for hours and hours, but we would definitely need to do another follow-up podcast just on that topic in a few months. But right now, I'm gonna ask you to wrap this up, some fun questions again, because I like to end on a positive note. Now imagine that, first of all, do you have your own podcast?
Yes, I do have my own podcast. It's called the Soul Leadership Podcast.
All right, let me just write this down as well. The Soul Leadership Podcast. Okay, so imagine that today you have the most special, the most amazing guest in the world for you, which is yourself. What would be the first question? By that, I don't mean the question that you have been meaning to ask for a long time. The first question that comes to your mind that you want to ask yourself. Don't think too much. The first question that comes to your mind.
You know, what would you have told your younger self? And the reason why I'm saying that is because my mentor has just brought out a book called Letters to the Younger Self. Mm-hmm. So the realizations, the wisdom that we've acquired, if I had only known, what would you have told your 20-year-old self when you were with the wisdom that you have now?
That was actually my next question, but you just read my mind. Did you use any of your skills to read my mind on that? All right, cool. Now, imagine that God comes to you and says, Crystal, you've been an amazing human being and I want to reward you. I want to grant you with one superpower for the rest of your life. Which one would it be and why?
The ability to manifest.
Oh, wow.
The ability to release all the, because we all manifest, but it's about the ability to manifest without interference that which is for the highest good of me, my family, and the community.
Amazing. And if you were to be able to ask God one question, what would it be?
I ask God questions all the time.
That's we all do. Yeah.
What would that one question? It's almost like how much longer do we have to live in this dark and light struggle? Like, when can we finally, when are we going to get out of this? Like, and I know we will get out of it. And I know that time is an illusion. So I know that there is no answer that God can give for that, but that's really, it's like, come on already. Like, are we still here? Let's just move into more ease and grace and flow and love and connection and harmony.
Yes, I think his answer will be as soon as you guys are ready.
Yes. Keep doing what you're doing. Keep doing the work and you'll get there.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, do you have any parting tips for anyone who would like to just, you know, elevate the frequency or become, or being able to do good with their business and be more impactful?
The words "be more impactful" are prompting me to say, in order to be more impactful, you need to be more visible. Oh, and in order to be more visible, you need to put yourself, you need to put yourself out there. And this can be getting on podcasts, applying to be on podcasts, getting into a multi-author book and coming into my books, but it's also about not hiding behind a mask, just being totally authentic and totally human, because people love to buy from people they like and trust. And so in order for people to like and trust you, you need to open up, or we all need to open up. And if I can, I have a beautiful free offer that I would love to share, which is around this topic. Please. And it's about the art of powerful communication. How can we communicate? How can we communicate in a way that it really touches the hearts of our ideal client? And so I've created a video, which is about 7 steps to persuasively share your story so that your ideal client can find you and resonate with you. So we can put that in the show notes as well. There's a link on my website. I can give it to you. It's crystalhill.com/powerful-communication. So that you can sign up there. And yeah, it just is really about, if we want to become more impactful, we need to become more in alignment with who we are.
That's
and beautiful. Then find the platforms that will allow us to become more visible, such as your podcast, such as my books, you know. Yeah.
You know, such a powerful words that you just said. And thank you for your generous offer. I'll definitely put in the show notes. You know, what you said totally relates with me as well, because I'm also, when I'm building my businesses, I want to be very transparent. I want to showcase the people making my products. For example, I will be posting videos of the person making the products, introducing, let them talk about themselves, because so that people get to know. I don't want to be just another faceless company, faceless corporation. I want to say, if you're buying this, you're buying for a real person. And when the people are going to be buying the product, they will get a beautiful handwritten note with a picture of the person making the product. When was the last time you bought a product with that, something like that? I don't recall it at all. So it's all about this human touch. So I really love that, because I'm totally about that. And also, this is one of the most powerful ways of branding yourself and, you know, and setting yourself apart from the competition. When you do that, when you have a business with a that's impactful with a cause, and you just showcase the people behind your business, the people making it possible, then competition becomes irrelevant, you know, doesn't matter anymore.
That's exactly right.
That's amazing. And for people who want to get in touch with you, what's the best way to do so?
I'm a lot on Facebook. I'm just Crystal Hill. Mm-hmm. And also my website is a great way. So the direct link to the publishing is crystalhill.com/publishing. And there's, you'll always find the latest books that I am looking for contributors for. And there is an investment. I do want to say that up front. To be in the books is an investment, because we have to, you know, do the whole back end. We've got to create a cover. We're doing the editing, the formatting, the marketing team, and the collaboration and connection, really holding the hands of everybody who's coming in as much or as little as they want, and providing trainings on marketing and how to get into the media and how to release the imposter syndrome. You know, I'm bringing my tools and my coaching into that. So it's like a whole experience. It's so much more than just being in a group, in a book. And it's about really creating the connections between all of the contributors to enrich and enhance each other's businesses.
That's amazing. Wow. For the right person, that can be an amazing opportunity. Well, Crystal, we can be talking for hours, because we have a similar, you know, view on things. You have a beautiful heart. You're a true leader with a heart. I salute you with that. But I know that you have another call in a few minutes, and I have to. So with this, I salute you. I wish you all the best. You're a true leader with a heart, but most importantly, your enlightened soul. Thank you. Keep spreading your beautiful message, and stay safe. God bless, and we'll keep in touch. Thank you very much, my friend.
Thank you. Take care.
Take care. Bye-bye.